Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
We're coming behind with no gift. We're coming behind in no gift. But you know why you feel what you feel here tonight? Please let me. It'd take all night. If you need a hamburger, go get it and come back and I'll still be at it. But stay awake because I'm watching. But there's nothing more powerful on planet Earth or effective than an organized, corporate, persistent, fervent, importunate, persevering, united in one mind and one accord of intercessory prayer. Somebody's been praying in this place. It will bring breakthrough. If I were you, they called me from Alexandria. There's a big prayer meeting going on there just before church starts. And they texted me and told me that they were praying for me. I feel that all over my body. I'm standing here clothed with his anointing. It brings what I'm talking about, say breakthrough, against the powers of darkness, against demonic opposition. It disrupts and dislodges the satanic powers in the structures of this city. This city belongs to you. Did you hear me? This city belongs to you. Because the name that's above every other name that can be named in heaven or in earth, you wear that name. And that power from on high that shook the Roman Empire and crumbled it is on the inside of you. Don't leave anything on the table that he purchased at Calvary. It's all for you, every one of you. Nobody's left out. Calvary's for the whole world. You're just lucky that you heard about it. You're lucky that you're here tonight. You're lucky that you have his name. You're lucky that you know this truth. That little 12-year-old boy with that miracle, that's enough to make you check this out. Janet, that's enough to make you jump up and down again. There it is. When you're almost 94, you drool. Don't worry about it. I've got what it takes, or I would be home in a rocking chair. I would, Brother Nealon, but let me just tell you, it's fire shut up in my bones. I've got fire in me tonight. And what I have will snatch people right out of the very jaws of the devil and out of hell. And I'm a warrior in the world of the spiritual realm. It withstands armies of demons that are ruthlessly and relentlessly ripping this generation apart. But the gates of hell cannot prevail. They cannot prevail against the church. It will knock down the gates of hell. What you're going to do tomorrow night will knock down the gates of hell and snatch people that are wanting to get out from behind those gates. Will bring them out. Your boy, your girl, your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother. Even against their will, God can make them so miserable that they will be ready to surrender. See, that's why I'm standing here boldly declaring that. I believe that. I practice that. My son, 69 years old, on his birthday every year, I go to that church at sun up until sundown, fasting and praying for his ministry, and have done that ever since he was a teenager and entered the ministry. I'm sitting there almost 8 or 9 years ago, and my back is hurting me, and I'm sitting there, and it was before the portico, and I see the silhouette of a man that's coming through those glass doors. I'm sitting there with my back hurting, and I see him getting closer, and there are people upstairs praying because that church for 50 years, the sound of prayer has never gone out in that church. There has been a chain of prayer, Janet, for 50 years, and they'll be praying there all night tonight, all day tomorrow, and until the Lord comes. So I see this man walking, and he comes toward me, and I say to him, Charlie DeWitt, what are you doing here? That's my senator. And he come, and his son is the celebrated heart doctor of Alexandria. He comes and sits down and gets just as close to me as he can get. And I turn and look at him. I said, what's the matter, Charlie? He said, they have found cancer on my lung. I said, well, I'm not going to embarrass you. You are a public servant, and you have done great and mighty things. He said, you're not going to embarrass me. I said, well, there are others here praying. But I said, I'm going to take hold of your hand, and I'm going to pray for you. And you can join me in the way that you pray. And I said, but your son knows even international doctors. You go to Houston. He said, well, when I leave you, I'm headed to Houston. I said, well, he can get you in touch with the best. He said, I went by your house, and when I couldn't find you there, I knew where I could find you. That's all I'm telling you that for. They'll know where to find you, Mama. They'll know where to find you, Daddy. They'll know where to go find you. So Charlie DeWitt goes on to Houston. He comes back to the church maybe like 3 or 4 months or however long later. And he's sitting in there with the dignified folks that something's going on there. And he's with all of them. And he stands up and he says, that's the angel that touched me and healed me. I said, no, Charlie. I just called on a name that's above every name and laid hands on you. And the man is still living, and that's been 7 or 8 or 9 years ago. We ought to expect that here tonight. That's what can happen. This is my father's little book. Some of you know him. Royal D. Gibson, Popsy. This is old pioneering days. This is the man that wrestled with angels and chased devils. And he was a prayer warrior that had miracle after miracle after miracle. He was called to Galveston, to John Seeley Hospital. And you can get one of these books back there tonight if you want it. But it's a miracle book. But he was called to John Seeley Hospital. Anthony was a little boy, went with him. We were preaching a camp meeting somewhere. And when they walk in there to see Sister Carol, the doctor says, she's dying, preacher. She'll be dead before morning. And Popsy thanked him and acknowledged him and walked in and stood there for a minute. And he said, devil, there's not enough room in here for me and you, and I'm not leaving. And Sister Carol, Anthony was a little boy. Sister Carol lived. She was a woman preacher. Moved to Alexandria. Anthony preached her funeral. That's how powerful. She was raised, as it were, from the dead. That's powerful. That's what God can do in here tonight. If you want it, that's what he can do. My tonsils, I had fever 105 in Shepherd, Texas. And I was delirious. I was seeing little animals fly around the room and all of this kind of stuff. Popsy leaves Lufkin down to Shepherd, Texas, comes there and prays for me, and I spit those tonsils out in my hand. I don't have any tonsils. My tonsils are gone. Whatever you need tonight, if you will hear me, God is going to move in this place and say, I'm going to get what I came for. I'm going to get what I came for. As a young girl during the Depression, I witnessed a most exciting encounter of a professional gambler. One of our unique evangelists, the gambler, underestimated. This preacher would have scared anybody. He had big old fists. And I, as a young child, I was afraid of him. I mean, he played the piano, and he knocked the keys off of the piano. But this gambler didn't like him preaching against gambling. So he walked up to him during Depression and waved a $10 bill under his nose And Brother Bohannon, if some of you have heard of him, reached out with his big old oversized hand and actually grabbed that $10 bill and said, "Bless God, give it here. The devil's had it long enough." That's what we're going to do here tonight. We're going to look at everything that's got hold of your situations. We're going to look at the devil and we're going to say, "Devil, you've tormented me long enough. You've had my boy long enough. You've had my girl long enough. You've had my situation in trouble long enough. Bless God, devil, say it's over tonight. Say, I'm settling that question tonight." Oh, Satan knows he has no power over you. Jesus Christ stripped him, whipped him, made a spectacle of him, triumphed over him at Calvary. He has no power over anybody in this room tonight. He just sows the weeds. He's an enemy. He confuses. He wallows in slander. He's a fowler. He sets the booby traps for your soul. He's a liar. He's an imposter. He's a deceiver. But in Jesus' name, take your stand. He must yield. Don't come any further. Don't come any closer. Turn loose and let go. I'm here tonight. He will not give up easily, but say he will yield. Say he will give in. He will give up. And the greatest thing that this church can do, say, the greatest power on planet Earth is a united, unceasing, persistent, authoritative, prevailing church. Again, I say, the gates of hell cannot stand against this church. Now, we are Pentecostal in doctrine. We are Pentecostal in standards and identity. But I ask you sincerely, are we truly Pentecostal, apostolic, in unceasing, persistent, authoritative prayer? It's an apostolic command to pray without ceasing. It's an apostolic command to pray all kinds of prayer for all saints, for all, for everybody, with supplication in the Spirit, watching thereto with all perseverance. The all prayer, all kinds of prayer. Say praise prayer. Confession prayer. Petition prayer. Agreement prayer. Supplication prayer. Intercession prayer. Agreement prayer. You'll never pray all of those prayers. You can never exhaust it. You can never do enough of it. That's what you feel in here tonight. Somebody's been praying. Prayer, supplication, perseverance. Put all of your energy into it. Put all of your heart into it. The worship up here tonight was electrifying. Yes, it was contagious. It made you want to praise the Lord. It made you want to clap your hands. It made you want to come back. It made you want to get another fix. It'll fix anything. So don't worry about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication. Make your requests known unto God. Even when I raise my hand, you may not know what I'm saying. I'm praising him, but I'm saying, "God, I thank you for answering that prayer for me that I prayed." You could lift your hands right now, and God would honor that lifting of your hands. I need something. Pray, sweet, pray that sweet lady. Yes, I want her to pray. I want her to pray that she's seeking that office. I believe she can pray. I believe that you can call upon the Lord. But your life as a believer will rise to stay above, no way above the level of your prayer. This church ultimate effectiveness will never rise to stay above the level of its prayer life. It's prayer. We've got to get this prayer thing right. When you pray and praise the Lord, there's nothing that he will withhold from this church. They will come from everywhere and bring their request in here. They will come through those doors bursting and say, "I need what you people have." Yes, they will. Somebody holler that again. They will come here and say, "I've got a problem I can't handle. I know somebody. I went by your house and couldn't find you, but I knew where I could find you." Yeah. Prayer warriors never die. Prayers never die. Prayer warriors, I'm sorry. Prayer warriors die, but prayers never die. When you prayed tonight, that will never die. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hundreds ought to be coming by this church. Really, really. You ought to be coming. This ought to be a flame of fire going out and just sweeping people in here. And people, we're in a fix, folks. The world's in a fix. We could be in war at any time or whatever. We don't know. But I know this. God is in control. And I know his name. And I know what we can do. I know we can do something about this. We're going to do something about it. It's no time for casual prayer. It's no time for casual prayer. No casual prayer. It's no time for casual anything. Don't be casual about going to church. Don't be casual about praying for one another. Don't be casual about getting your children. Don't leave one of them out. Say, not a one. I'll stay awake day and night praying for every one of mine. Say, my children's going to heaven with me. My family's going to heaven with me. Say, we're going to have revival in this church of all the MIAs and all the backsliders and all of those that's walked off. Say, we'll restore everybody. And so would Jesus. If he were here, you might not like the way he handled it, but he wouldn't ask you a question. He wouldn't ask your permission. He is in the restoring business. He's in the saving business. Calvary settled it all. It's finished. You can have anything you want. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want your children saved? How bad do you want to change some things? Zelophehad in the Old Testament had five girls. These five girls are hearing these people talk about out in the wilderness going to Canaan land. Well, the girls didn't get, there was a law that the inheritance had to pass on to sons. And Zelophehad had no sons. So it would go back to Israel. But these five girls made up their mind, we're going to change this. Say, five girls. Have you ever heard of agreement in prayer if two or three of you agree in one thing? These girls handled it right. They went to their pastor. They went to Moses. I don't have time to go into it. You could preach a whole sermon on it. They went to Moses and said, it's not right that our father's inheritance cannot be passed on to us. We can't get excited about going to Canaan land because we have nothing to go there for. Moses said, I'll take it to God. Moses took it to God. God heard all of that. He's hearing everything right now. He's looking over this place. He knows the desire of your heart. He knows what's in my heart right now while I'm standing here talking to you. Say, he knows everything. So he spoke to Moses and said, Moses, those girls are right. Those girls, that had been a law for all of Israel's days. But until somebody, say somebody, stood up. I'm tired of this. I'm going to change this. After tonight, I'm going to change some things. I'm going to make sure I change that situation. Yeah, go ahead, wow. I love that. You don't look like you're big enough to wow that. I love that. That's Pentecost. A sound from heaven and a rushing mighty wind. Let them whistle, let them holler, let them shout. They noised it abroad. Well, those girls, and you know what? They didn't settle it for that. They got it. They changed that law. That law was written off. Say, he made the laws. He can change any law he wants to change. But you know what? When Moses died and Joshua took over, they didn't take a chance. They went back and said, everything that they went through with Moses, Zelophehad, find him in your Bible. Numbers, it's Numbers 20. But anyway, I wish you'd read about it. Then they go to Joshua. They go to Joshua and say, here it is. We've got land over there. Our father's inheritance passed to us. Folks, you are sitting here rich and you don't even know it. I don't care if you can't pay your light bill. You know a name that can change some things. I don't care if your boy is in the Grace House in Alexandria. Look at me and say, I'm going to change some things And I'm going to be what God sent me into this world to be. Say, I'm going to be that. Go ahead, honey. That boy is going to be something great. You wait and see. Your father told me what you want to be, but you're on the right track. Say, get first things first. Say, and I'm after him first. And then I'll get that education and all of that, and then I'll go be a missionary and do what I want to do. All I'm telling you, folks, get your mind made up here tonight. I didn't come down here to just have nothing to do. I mean, I came to have somebody change. Say, I'm going to be changed. I'm going to change some things that's been tormenting me. I'm going to change some things that's out of whack. I don't like it that my girl's not sitting here with me. Come on, folks, and talk with me. Say, we can do something about this. Say, we're going to unite together in prayer, in fasting, in... Go ahead. Yes.
Absolutely.
That ought to be a subject for him to preach. I mean that. Absolutely. It is absolutely right.
Yes, it is. Amen.
And in these Herculean, unusual, difficult days, we must be interceding with fervent, radical prayer and intercession with fasting and thanksgiving. Say desperate.
Desperate.
Have you ever been desperate? I have. I've been desperate. If you haven't, you'll be there. You'll get there. If you're ever in serious enough trouble, well, guess what? Zacchaeus was desperate to climb a tree. Say, he climbed a tree. He was so desperate, he climbed that tree to just get a look at him. And you know what? When Jesus looked at all that bunch that had gathered around him and he couldn't get to him, he was a little bitty man, little bitty tree climber caught up in the tree. Guess who Jesus went home with? Come on, somebody, and tell me. That's who he went home with. The little bitty tree climber. He'll go home with you if you're desperate here tonight. How desperate are you? Don't matter who's here. Don't matter what. How desperate are you to get what you want and what you've been praying for? Come on. That's okay. That means I'm desperate. Then don't stop till you get it. I will get it. I'll do anything to get it. That's some things I'm after tonight. I'm desperate to get it. Yes. And let me tell you another one. There was a woman, that had spent all her money. Well, that's not hard to do in this day and time. If you're entering a nursing home, going to the hospital, and all that, you better have a lot of good insurance. Is that good news? Is that new news? All I'm telling you, she'd spent all. 12 years she'd spent all on physicians. And so she wasn't any better. Guess what she did? She had to be crawling because she couldn't get to him, for the Bible said, for the press. And it's not talking about the newspaper. It's talking about the people. There were so many people. She touched the hem of his garment, so she had to be down low. That woman intended to get to Jesus. If somebody were that desperate here tonight, I wish somebody in this room would get that desperate of your situation, of your family, of your job, of your position, of whatever you want. Get desperate about it. Say desperate. If you have to climb a tree to get it, climb a tree. If you have to crawl on the floor to get it, if you have to pray 3 hours every day, in Jesus' name, say, I will do what I have to do to become what God sent me in this world to be. Say, I'm on the right track. I'm putting him first. And when you put him first, he'll add all the other things. Look at me. I'm standing here going on 94 years old. I'm standing here because I've put him first. He's first every morning. When my feet hit the floor, say, devil, you're going to have a bad day today. You're going to have a bad day. I'm going to snatch everything I can out of your hands. I mean that. You say he's a bad devil, but he's on a leash. He can't do nothing to me till God permits him. He can't do nothing to me. Say, I can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. See, I believe that because Jesus said I could. I believe that they can lay hands on me and I can be healed. Say, I believe that. I believe I can talk in tongues because he said I could. Say, he said all of that just before he left. Say, he can't lie. Say, every promise in the book is mine. Say, I know what my God can do. Am I making you nervous? Am I making you glad? Say, I can change some things. Say, I'm going to change some things. Did the woman get healed? Were a lot of people jostling against Jesus? Was the multitude touching him? Didn't faze him a bit. But when that desperate woman, say one desperate somebody in this room tonight, he would bypass all of us and they'd get what they needed. If one desperate person, I don't care if you interrupt me, I can be through in a minute or go until you say time is up. Where is the clock? Who do I ask? I'm full of this, folks. I'm full of this, Myra. I am. I'm full of this. How much time you got? No, I'm just carrying on, brother. I'm just trying to keep you awake because the forces of evil, the satanic, devil-possessed, unimaginable powers of hell are being released upon this generation. I don't like it. I'm not going to sit by and watch a person go to hell that I can snatch. I'm not, Brother Needland. I don't care where they've been, what they've done, how they smell, how they look. That was my subject yet because of the times 1 year. Loving God and loving people that's me. That's my signature. Love God and love people. Don't matter who they are, what they look like. Don't matter where they've been, what they've done, whether they're ugly or skinny or fat or whatever, they're God's people. Forgive them, restore them, save them, have mercy on everybody. Love everybody, reach for everybody. Everybody in this room needs you to love them. Everybody in here wants to be loved. They're reaching for somebody. Raise your hands and say, God, baptize me with a baptism of love. Yeah, do that, pray that. Oh, yes, yeah. Did Jesus tell her she was healed? He said, I felt virtue go out of me. I want somebody to touch him here tonight that he'll look at you and say, you got a hold of me. And I'm taking hold of your situation and it'll never be the same. That's what I've got to do. And I will do it. I don't care if you have to be a wrestler with an angel. Jacob got his name changed to Israel when he wrestled with God and the angel. See, it's like Naomi tried to get Ruth to turn back. She said, I ain't turning back. I ain't going back. I ain't going back. I'm leaving family and country and gods. I saw something in this Judaism that changed me. I'm leaving this Moab country. I'm leaving it. You got to make up your mind. I'm not turning around. The devil will try you. And let me just tell you, it's just like this one that I'm fixing to tell you. Say Jairus. Yeah, a great man, ruler of the synagogue, little 12-year-old girl, lying, dying. And they run to him while he's trying to get Jesus to come and said, there's no need to come now. She's dead. And Jesus, as if Jesus said, that's the way it ought to be. I can do a bigger miracle now than I could by healing her. All I'm telling you, folks, the man fell down. You know when he got to Jesus? He fell down. I'm not going to get down so I may not get up. But they'd get me up. But he fell down and worshiped him. Listen to me. He goes home with people that worship him. I wish there would be such a worship come over this congregation that not just this little skinny girl sitting up here leading this choir. Was she good or what? I don't know if she is. But she's little and skinny, but she sounded like a roaring lion. Yeah. out what happened to everybody in this room. He'll go home with you. He'll go home with you. He'll go home with you. Come on, Sister Nealon. Are y'all gonna feed me when this is over? You are? Where you gonna feed me? Yeah. Just let me just tell you all this, folks. I eat when I don't fast because I want to do this. Let me just pause here. I told you I was full of this. I may never get all this finished. You can just go get your hamburger and come back. And all I'm telling you is this. Say, my body is a weapon against the devil. Clap your hands. Do it louder than that. Now follow me. Do you know that that's warfare against the devil? And when he comes trying to sit on your shoulder, you just start clapping your hands and said, devil, you get under my feet and off of my back. Start clapping your hands. Say, that's warfare against him. Do you know that this is war? Follow me. Raise your hand. That's warfare. Put them as high as you can get them. It's not going to hurt you whether you're Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, or what. Get them up there high. That's warfare. Come on, everybody, whether you're Pentecostal or what. That's warfare. He's going to answer my prayers tonight. Say, this is warfare. He's on the run now. He's on the run. Yes. He's on the run, folks. Give him your body. Give him your mind. Give him your soul. Give him your spirit. He's Lord of life and Lord of death. He's got the keys. Say, the devil don't even have the keys to his own house. Jesus has the keys to death and hell. I ain't serving him. Get off of my back. Quit talking in my ear. Brother Mangan used to say, don't even talk to him. Don't even answer him. All say in Jesus' name. On the run. Well, that assault from hell is about to become so devastating and so terrifying that you're going to be glad you started early. Am I a miracle? Janet, am I a miracle? You know what that is? I load it all out of me before I go to bed. I'm not put it on. Say, cast it on him, for he careth. He's saying to me right now, give it to me. Give it to me. Is anybody in here got something you want to give it to him tonight? Cast it on him. You want to sleep good tonight? Go ahead. Go ahead. Cast it on him. Human will and intelligence is no match for what I'm talking about. You're no match for the demonic manifestations we're facing. And they're escalating every day. I don't believe there's a Christian alive who can remain. Now, I'll stop in a minute. Now, I'm serious. I'm a long-winded, and I don't want to be tonight. Because it's 10 after 7. Do you get through about 7:30? Would that be all right with you all? If I just keep you here till about 7:30, you'd still like me. And I might could come back sometimes. Am I good, Brother Carl? He's given me both thumbs. You can be seated. But let me just tell you, and I want everybody to like this statement. I don't believe that you're going to handle the pressures of the future and remain steadfast without a fresh. I know how many of you, I was 6 years old. So I'm 93, going on 94. So I've had the Holy Ghost about 87 years. But I need a fresh outpouring, and I try to get it. Believe me, I build up my faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. There's a warfare tongue. There's a devotional tongue. After you, the birth tongue, everybody gets. Say, the initial evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost announces its arrival by allowing you to speak in another language, heavenly language, spiritual language that you've never learned. There have been many, many that when somebody received the Holy Ghost, there's a woman in our church and somebody gave a message in tongues. She interpreted it in, what's the Jewish language? What am I trying? Yes. And she interpreted it, and it was the Lord, glorifying the Lord and his name and all of that. All I'm telling you, folks, there is that initial birth tongue. But then there's a congregation tongue that needs to be interpreted. And then there is the warfare tongue. I go into that, and if you came to where I was praying, and I've heard it in our church, Yvonne Cherrier, her two brothers are attorneys, foremost attorneys, celebrated attorneys. And both now have their offices in Alexandria, but New Orleans and all over the state. All I'm telling you, they have a sister that is upstairs every day for 15 years she's been there. And she prays a 3-hour prayer shift every day. If you walked up that stairway into that room where she's praying, you would think that the woman was mad at somebody. It was just, she hardly ever speaks in English. It's amazing. If you walked in that church, even today, they baptized even before, while we were preaching and all that, pastor just backed up and let them baptize. The church in Alexandria, all I'm telling you that for is to just whet your appetite. Yeah. Right. This little book, and I was going into my notes, but this little book, Jennifer Williams, she is an African-American. Anthony Mickey picked her up on a bus route. She was 8 years old. She has two counselor's degrees, and I said, Jennifer, she's anointed of God. I said, I wouldn't stop. I'd go on for my PhD. She got her PhD this summer. Went in March. She went to where Pence did this, Liberty. That's where it was, Liberty. She got, all I'm telling you that for is to tell you this. She got her license to preach during all that time. I read 5 books that you have to read now to be ordained. She read all of that and got that. She read this book of Popsies, and she said, I'm not going to let that pass me by. She said, if that happened to him, it's going to happen to me. She went out there and stood on his grave. She said, I read in the Bible where Elisha's bones brought a dead man that was thrown in there on his bones and brought that dead man back to life. She said, what's in this man's bones? She read that book, and she reads it often. She goes out there before she ever, she went to Atlanta. I don't know how many. How many she baptized and that got the Holy Ghost. She started a prayer meeting after she went out there and stood on his grave and said, I want that in my bones. She said, what's in his bones? I want that. The woman started a prayer meeting in her home 710 days ago that's never stopped. She has baptized sitting judges. She's baptized attorneys. She's prayed for them, and they've been filled with the Holy Ghost. She's got doctors. She's got, I don't know how many. I've got it all here somewhere. How many she, I can't take much time, though, for that, but I'd like to read you. How many that she's got baptized in Jesus' name? Here it is right here. Let me just show you. It's all there on the back of that. That 700 to 800 people average and 40 and have been baptized in Jesus' name out of that home. She started a prayer meeting in her home that many people, and they've been baptized. And now Dia and Dan have begun one in their home, and they have 75 to 85 people every Friday night, and Jennifer's is on Thursday night. The doctor, David, that's the pastor of the big Calvary Church, lives across from Jennifer. And he calls Anthony because they talk often. And he said, "Anthony, what are all the cars doing over there at Jennifer Williams' house?" Anthony said, "David said they're having prayer meetings there and big things are happening." He started a 40-day prayer meeting at the big Calvary Baptist Church in Alexandria. And he said, "And I'm taking the first hour." All I'm telling you, folks, this is catching fire all over the world. You can't come behind. You can't come behind. You say, "We're not going to come behind." Say, "We've got beautiful facilities." Say, "We've got things paid for." We're giving and going. Let me tell you why Alexander, he read his letter this morning, didn't he, Nikki? When I say I'm ashamed to tell you, I'm humbly, I don't know how long it'd been. You said 8 or 9 years or whatever. But that little old town of Alexandria, 44, they've given over $3.5 million in that length of time. All I'm telling you, what you're doing here, God's smiling on it. And when you give, whatever sacrifice you give, say, you can't outgive God. The blessings of God will rest. The blessings of God will rest upon this place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And they've got a men's prayer meeting on Tuesday night and a family's prayer meeting on Monday night. And on Wednesday, they've got women of war. I mean, every hour of every day, 24/7 with all these extra prayers. Say, "It'll work." And it's going to work. And say, "We've got our work cut out for us." Sure enough, in this hour, this dreadful hour, this determining hour, it's some kind of day, folks. Get your head out of the sand and look around and see. We're calling on the Lord. We're calling on the Lord. Say, "We need your help." And devils know it. Devils know it. They know your name. They know when you pray, and they will stop you from coming to that prayer meeting tomorrow night. Go to every prayer meeting you can go to. Say, "Not a gossip meeting." Say, "I don't want to go to a gossip meeting. I hate gossip. I don't like to hear gossip. I don't search out gossip. I don't want gossip. I want to hear great things like this precious 12-year-old being healed." Say, "Tell me good news." Brother and Sister Nealon, several years ago, the governor then, I'm thinking it might have been McKeithen, but he called all the pastors and their wives because they had done a new facility across the river there at they call it Central, which is the asylum for the mentally ill. And they called all of the ministers and their wives in there. And when we get in there and there's a big crowd, and then they take us to the worst part and show us all of that, they want the ministers to see it. And I asked the governor if I could just sing. And he said, "Well, yes, you may." And I started singing, "When I think of the goodness of Jesus." And all, well, there was a woman there. She just started backing up. And she went and she sat on the windowsill. They saw all of this. She went and sat on the windowsill. And then she pointed her finger and she said, "I know you." She had never met me. She said, "I know you. I heard your voice. And I recognize that voice." I'm telling you what that voice was. The voice that you're going to be praying up there tomorrow night. It goes places that you never thought would ever go. It goes into people's homes. It goes into play. It goes into the highways and the byways. I want you to raise your hands with me one more time, and I want you to call on the names that you're calling. I want these prayers to leave here tonight and go to them. I want you to call their names out and let God visit them tonight before they go to bed, before they go to sleep. This goes past stone walls, locked doors, inner room. Go ahead. It touches the heart of a person. It changes their decision. It changes their will. It can change your children's mind. You may not can talk to them, but say God can. Say God can talk to them. So I'm telling you tonight, let there be prayer at sunup. Let there be prayer at noonday. Let there be prayer at sundown. Let there be prayer at midnight. Let there be prayer all through the day. In our homes, our families, our children, our youth, our churches. Oh God, release your power. Release your power. Everybody stand with us tonight. Everybody stand with us. In the name of Jesus, I want anybody that wants something from God, you really want it. Say, I'm desperate. I'm desperate. Come desperate. Come desperately asking. Don't just come here and stand. Come here and lift your hands to God and say, God, I want everything I've been praying for according to your will. And it's not your will that any be lost. It's not your will that my boy. It's not your will that my girl. It's not your will, God. I will change some things tonight.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.